Okay, hi everybody. We're live Breaking Bread in Napa with your host, Tyrene. I've got a really special lineup for you today. I've got some really important guests in my life who happen to have a lot of background on some of the topics we'll be talking about. We've got a newbie, first time in Napa here, so we're going to hear her experiences. We had some great tastings, had a wonderful time, wonderful meals. So we're going to really go through a few of those events and kind of give some background and how much we enjoyed, what we didn't like, and we're just going to run through that real quick. So with that, I want to turn it over to my good friend, Tani. She's going to introduce herself. Tani, you want to say a few words about introducing yourself and your background, please?
Well, my name is Tani Dušilokević. I was born in Europe, in Yugoslavia of those days. And when I finished college in Zagreb, the capital of Croatia, I went to Heidelberg, Germany for postgraduate studies, where I met my future husband. And a few years later, we moved to the United States, to Washington, D.C. And here I am now, and I love it here.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what did you study in your postgraduate work, Ms. Tani?
Well, I was at the Interpreters Institute, and when I finished that, I took up Shakespeare studies, and that's what I did in postgraduate.
Wonderful. And how many languages do you know?
I think Latin and Greek are the basis of the Indo-European languages. And having had 8 years of each, it did help me develop the other languages. So right now I am acquainted and speak some seven languages.
Seven languages, amazing. She's just an absolute wonderful wealth of information, history, and she's just one of my top people in life. I love her to death.
Thank you, Tyrene.
You bet. And I'm excited. Our newbie who just joined us, first time in Napa, I still see the smile on her face. I don't know if she wants to leave today, but Joni, why don't you say a few words about yourself and how are you doing over there?
I'm doing great. And you are correct. I do not want to return to the East Coast. I love the title of your podcast, Breaking Bread, because that just gives me a vision of people sitting around a table, learning and growing together. And I don't think I've ever felt any more welcome any place than I have in your home.
Awesome.
So I just want to tell you, I'm very grateful for that.
Awesome.
I met Tana when I was 14 years old. I was one of her students. And then we ended up teaching together down the road. I'm a product of Alexandria, Virginia, born and raised. I'm a mom. I'm a student athlete from George Mason University, dog lover, coffee connoisseur. Hopefully we'll be a wine connoisseur before it's over.
Awesome, awesome.
I think
you took it all in this last 3-4 days that we were here. So lovely, and we would really love to have you back soon, very soon, come back and see us. So we were here about 3 or 4 nights, and I want to give a shout-out to, I'm a big fan, most of you all know that, I'm a big fan of the music scene, love all kinds of musics. And Friday night, we went to the Napa Blue Note. Shout out to Napa Blue Note. One of my favorite jazz saxophonists when I was in college and university, Candy Dolfer, she's a Dutch saxophonist. I used to play her nonstop during school, and it just so happened that she was in town this weekend playing at the Napa Blue Note, so we all got tickets and we went down there, and it's a small venue, very small venue. Even if you get a bar seat, you're perfect. It's just really, it's close knit, you know, your community tables in there, but it just really adds to the experience. And you know, the musicians are right there. They come into the crowd, and it's just such a beautiful experience. And to see Candy, and she was just hitting all those notes, and she played a couple of her older tunes that I can certainly relate to in college. But if you're in town in Napa and on a Friday night, Saturday night, or whenever night, the Blue Notes usually open, you know, 7 days a week, as long as they have some musicians in there. Look it up, see who's playing, and drop by there. You won't be disappointed, especially if you're drinking wine all day. Go back to the hotel, have dinner, take a little nap is what we did. And then we were ready for that 9 p.m. Slot, so it was all good. So I want to talk about the two wineries. I just want to get impressions from my guests here of what they thought about those wines and the winery. We're going to, you know, kind of discussed what the experience was at the winery, where we welcomed, and we'll kind of go through some of that. And then we tasted probably three or four wines at each winery, and we're just going to actually just shout out what your favorite wine was out of the three or four that we tasted, and I'll go through with those. But just to kind of set the stage here, we started at Odette, which is one of my favorite vineyards. It's in the Oakville region of the Napa Valley. And it's part of the Plump Jack portfolio of wineries. And we got lucky. We actually went to all three of their wineries, which was pretty amazing. A couple of them were planned, but the one we just popped in at, and we'll talk about that wine as well. But the first one, again, is Odette. I want to give a shout out to Laura Drells. She was our host there. She was fantastic. She was, on top of it, asking us, you know, our thoughts about the wines and just coming back. Did we want to revisit any? She was just very tentative, very informative, but without being super intrusive. She was running a few other guests' tables. And she let us kind of just, you know, experience the wines and then would come back and check. But she's just a wonderful host. If you are in the Valley and you want to visit Odette, highly ask for Laura. She can definitely take good care of you. So at Odette, we tasted the 2022 Odette Estate Cabernet. And that was actually really, really highly rated on the Wine Spectre. But we're going to get our thoughts from the guests. And we also, and when they say estate wine, that means the vineyards that are actually on the estate where we were actually drinking the wine. So those were the vines that we were drinking the Cabernet. They have another blended Cabernet, which is not as high-end as the Estate Cab, which is really excellent wine. It's usually in the probably like the $60 to $80 range, but we tasted the 2019 and the 2022 adaptation, which were both very good. And in fact, I was doing a wine pickup there, and we brought those and we drank them all weekend, and they were amazing. We had a barbecue one night. We opened up a few of those bottles, and all paired very nicely what we were barbecuing. Just to kind of level set some of the 2022. Most of the vineyards are just releasing that one, and we did get to taste some of the 22 as well. It was a balanced season, growing season, 2022. However, we did get a big spike, heat spike, Labor Day weekend, which really impacted the vines, the grapes tremendously. So it's not yet rated 2022, but they're certainly pouring. They're ready to pour. However, for the growers who picked before Labor Day versus the growers who waited till after Labor Day to pick, there's definitely some inconsistency there. So something to watch out for when you're out, you know, purchasing wine in 2022. Do a little research on that just to see where it's. So it's a little, you know, again, it's not rated yet, but there was some of that inconsistency there. The 2021s that we were drinking, Wine Spectator gave it 97 points. It was a small crop, And it was a very cool summer from what I remember. So there wasn't those heat spikes that impacted the grapes at all. So 2021 was a small crop because it was cooler. But however, it was a very even, very balanced crop that the winemakers had to work with. An outstanding year there. So with that, Odette, so Ms. Tani, what were your impressions overall of Odette Winery? What you thought about the winery, your experience when we got there?
This is not my first visit, and I really liked it. And I was looking forward to going to Odette again. And Laura, I believe, is very informative and very friendly, but at the same time, professional. She gave us very good insight into the wines and plenty of time to taste it, to discuss it while she was attending to another table. So I would recommend it very much, especially their Cabernet is, I mean, I bought some.
Yeah. That says it all right there.
Yeah,
and I'm taking it back in my suitcase.
That's right, exactly. And I hope that the receivers of those bottles will appreciate as much as we did.
Oh my gosh,
that's about it.
Wonderful. Yeah. And Joni, let us know what your thoughts were on the winery, what the experience was like, what your favorite wine was that we tasted.
Gotcha.
Out of the group.
Well, again, shout out to Laura. Fabulous, great personality, knowledgeable, fun, attentive. Met up with her again yesterday at, where were we, Cade?
Cade, yeah,
and
we were top of Hamam.
Gave us a private show up in the cave. Amazing. Pointed out some very prominent people in the wine community here in Napa. But back to the winery, beautiful setting, the yellow leaves were falling around our wine glasses, which she was worried about, but it just added to the ambiance for us. The 21 cab, hands down.
Yeah.
Bring it.
Bring it on. And listeners, we did taste some of the adaptation. We tasted, as we said, the estate wine, which was outstanding. Not to take away from the adaptation lineup, all good, but we were really focused on, you know, smelling, swirling, tasting. I was giving these guys a little bit of a lesson here of, you know, how do you look at the wine, look at the color. So when we were smelling the bouquet of the wine, there was a very pronounced smell that I was like, I can't identify it. What is it? And I was asking Tani, and they're like, yeah, we could smell it, but we just couldn't put our finger on. So we brought Laura over, and we're like, Laura, do you smell that? What's your take on it? We can't get that note quite down. And she was just like, oh boy, she's like, that might be a little tainted there. So shout out to us for identifying that. Again, listeners, nothing against the wine. It does happen. Cork taintage does happen, but certainly something to be aware of when you open that bottle of wine to take that smell. If something doesn't smell right, you know, put it down, go back to it, smell it again. And if it's still pronounced, then, you know, you might get a cork bottle. So bring it back to your wine, cellar. But anyway, the experience, would you say, thumbs up. Would you recommend it
Absolutely.
To our listeners?
Thumbs up.
100%. And you're a repeat guest.
That's
there.
That's right. Exactly.
All right. So again, listeners, that was the Odette Estate. It's over in the Oakville area, just off of Silverado Trail. Just beautiful, you know, gorgeous winery, gorgeous scenery. They have their cave there. Highly recommend it. Ask for Laura. Now, the other winery that we visited was Faust, which is over in Spring Mountain area, just a little outside of St. Helena. So it's a little further north in the valley, on the west side of the mountain range of the valley. So a little bit different over there experience to see, you know, from that point of view, the other side of the valley. And this winery is really interesting. It's one of the oldest. It's a Victorian house. I think was 1800s, I think it was. Yeah. 1800s, right? Yes. Just gorgeous. Preserved, pristinely preserved. They redone it. It's just absolutely, it certainly adds. And you're up quite high on a hill, so the views are just stunning. And the patio is amazing. And we tasted three wines there. And, shout out to Gabe. Gabe was our host there, not to take away from Laura, but Gabe was phenomenal. He was really... He had a great sense of humor. I've been to Faust several times, and I learned a few new nuggets of information, which I really appreciate that when the hosts are really informed and they share that knowledge and can ask my questions without being annoyed by it. But really nice guy. So the three wines, well, we actually tasted four at Faust. We did start out with the Sauvignon Blanc, which was very good. It's a nice, easy, Sauvignon Blanc, poolside, seafood, shrimp cocktail, cerveche. I think it's really easy to drink. And just to let you guys know that the grapes, all of these Faust wines, we tasted four, three reds and the Sauvignon Blanc, all come from the Coombsville appellation. That's the newest appellation that was brought forward in the Napa Valley. So that was like the last one. They had been trying for decades to try to get that part of the valley to be accredited, and they did. I think he said 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was really good. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And you guys could even comment about, you can actually, they call it the terroir. So the other wines, we were Floor Valley. Coombsville is a little bit higher, a little bit more volcanic, I think Gabe said. So, you know, a little bit subtle differences in the wine just based on literally what part of the valley it comes from. So we tasted a 21 Syrah, a 21 Merlot, and a 21 Cabernet Sauvignon, which is called the Pact. It's their, you know, their high end, you know, which actually it's a very, very quality value wine that I would highly recommend that would stand up to any of the valley's $200-$300 Cabernets, and it comes in at $125. So it's a value, and I think it really stands up to those big cabs, which I think they're really, you know, using that marketing edge there. But anyway, Ms. Tani, what did you think about the wines at Faust and your experience at Faust? It was your first time at Faust, was
That's
it?
That's right.
Okay.
Well, I was intrigued by the name. I've never heard of Faust before, and... being that I pretty well am introduced to British and American and German literatures, you know, I was thinking, why Faust? Where is Mephisto here? where is the devil? What kind of name is this for, and why? Why this name? But anyhow, I thought it was very well organized. Winery, and I really like their Syrah. Syrah was, I mean, I like a little bit heavier wines, and I loved Syrah.
Awesome. So you out of the wines we tasted, you really went for that Syrah.
Yeah, I did.
Awesome. Awesome. Very good. Joni, how about you? What are your experiences with the winery, and which of the wines that you liked? And again, listeners, this is all degrees of greatness. All the wines are amazing. It's a matter of taste and certainly your palate.
So shout out to Gabe. He was excited. That's the word I'd use to describe him. He was excited to talk about the wines. I love the decor of the Victorian, the black and white, the contrast, the history behind the house, and of course the speakeasy. You have to visit that.
Aha,
around
that's
the back
right.
door. 21's a good year for wine, and I've learned from Ty, it's the dollar value wine that I'm going to have to look out for.
Awesome.
Not going to sneak it by me anymore.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, just that speakeasy, I forgot to mention. I'm glad you brought that up. Because of this Victorian house that they built the tasting room in from the 1800s, then obviously when Prohibition came, I think in the 20s, was it? Mm-hmm. Late 20s? Yeah, yeah. They had a little secret room area, which is where they would continue to enjoy their libations and alcohol there. And it's really a nice spot. If you do visit Faust, check it out. They have about 3 or 4 parties a year. Parties are really special, but certainly visit, you know, on a regular, you know, day if you're there. But if there is a party, when they open up that speakeasy in there, they like to actually, they bring a lot of oysters in there. So they definitely like to have an oyster room in there. It's all really nice. And you're free to, you know, walk all over it's like 2 floors of the Victorian, and it's just really nice. They have the murals back to the Faustinian kind of theme of the winery, that devil, good, you know, good, bad, light, dark. They've got that, and the labels on the on the bottle itself is just gorgeous, just gorgeous. But anyway, again, I think for value, quality value, these wines. The Merlot, the Syrah, and the Cab will definitely stand up. They're like in the $100 to $80 to $90. They'll stand up to any of the Napa Valley's $200, $250, $300 bottles of wine easily. I think you're getting a really good value at that level of wine. And also, too, just a shout out there, Faust makes a everyday Cabernet. They don't serve it at the winery. However, you will see it at, you know, steakhouses, and you'll see it at Binney's, BevMo, wherever you buy your wines at. They do circulate. It's a large production. However, it is a really good value. You can get it at $45 a bottle, and I got to tell you, it is really amazing. And actually, that is what brought me to seek out that winery. We were at a restaurant. We had a bottle for dinner. I was like, wow, that's a really solid bottle of Cabernet. It wasn't breaking the bank by no means. And then here they just opened the tasting room, and it was awesome to get acquainted with their wineries that they have as well. Any last words from Miss Tani on the wineries, on the wines?
Well, no place like Napa. I mean, I know La Champagne in France, okay, and in general, French wines, Italian, that I'm acquainted with.
What about Croatian wines? I think we have a father of Croatian winery here.
Exactly.
That unfortunately we lost.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, he passed away at his ripe age of 98.
Yes, 98.
Like close to 100. He did bring some Croatian seedlings from Belješac. That's a peninsula where I go when I'm in Croatia. I go there frequently. There is Grgić Winery over there also.
Aha.
A little bit more modestly priced, but very good.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I was excited when I first came to visit Grgić Wines here. I didn't even think about him as an American producer of wine, but now I believe his daughter is in charge of the winery, and they do have wonderful. During the Croatian independence fight, he would send for the embassy because the embassy was broke. Of course, there was no money at the time, and he would send cases of his wine to the Croatian embassy in Washington.
Is that right?
When we had, we would have reception, diplomatic receptions.
Very good.
And the Grgić wine was served.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very good.
Free of charge.
Free of charge, of course, a donation. Any last minute thoughts, Joan, from you on the Valley, your Valley experience?
Just epic.
Epic. I love that word. All right, listeners, we will take a break and be right back.